Before we get into today's episode, Joey and I wanted to acknowledge the current events that are happening in the Twin Cities and that are happening nationally now. And these are all a result of the murder of George Floyd. This is something that happened in our own town, very, very close to where we live. So for that reason, we wanted to mention it, but also because it is now a part of a bigger movement that we really, really support, which is the Black Lives Matter movement. And so we wanted to come on here, acknowledge what's going on, and talk a little bit about what we're doing and what we believe. And
yeah, and in a
nutshell, that's what we want to say.
That's what we want to say. In true and the winner's fashion, we've got a list of top five ways that we have chosen to support this movement.
And we hope that this will inspire you in some way, or maybe you've already done some of these things, but this is what we're doing. We hope you also are doing these things, or at least thinking about these things.
Yeah. Okay, number five is acknowledging the knife, or acknowledging the privilege that you might have, or at least considering it, and also considering the injustice in the way that the system has held minorities down, essentially.
Right, because you and I have talked, if any interaction we've ever had with a police officer, I never had to fear for my life.
Yeah,
you know, it's the furthest thing from my mind.
I'm not even thinking about the police.
Yeah, and you know, all of the stories that you hear is, you know, Black parents are having to teach their kids when they're like 5 years old about how to interact with the police and this laundry list of things that they need to do to stay safe. And that's just nothing that we've ever even had to consider. And that is white privilege.
Yeah. Number five, acknowledge the knife. Number four, carry a phone with you.
Oh, always a good idea for many reasons. But
yeah, the video of this is evidence that obviously we need better ways to hold the police accountable, since obviously they can't hold themselves accountable for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Filming the police and knowing your rights on how to best film the police is just a great idea.
Right.
This stuff is probably happening way more than we think it is, and it's only because of these videos surfacing that we
know
about them.
Yes, it's... Nothing about what's happening is new. We're just filming it now. And I can't take credit for that statement. Will Smith said that. So
the first
yeah.
national treasure, Will
yes,
Smith.
Yes, protect him.
Number three is donate.
Yes, donate. This is something that's very important to us. We have been doing this throughout the week. And it's something that's very, very easy to do, especially if you received a stimulus check from the COVID-19 situation and you put it straight into your savings account. If you have that money in your savings account, then you have the means to donate. So that is my rallying. It is my rallying cry. There is no reason that you can't take a little bit of that money and donate it to this worthy cause.
Absolutely. Some of the ones that we donated to, just to rattle them off, We Love Lake Street, Trio, that's a restaurant, Fade Factory, a barbershop that burned down, the George Floyd Fund, a couple of others. I think a lot of those have hit their
donation. Yeah, that's the good part about it is, you know, I wanted to come on here and be like, donate to these causes. But then before we recorded, we checked and most of these have hit their goal, if not doubled it. And so now a lot of these organizations are saying, we're good, like donate to others now. And that's such a cool thing to
see.
That
is fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully that continues. Hopefully it's
you're
not just...
You're going to have to find your own.
Yeah, you're going to have to find your own. And then tell us what they are, too, so we can take a look and see if there are other... I'm sure there are countless others we could be donating to and supporting them.
Cool. Number two is call your representative.
Oh, yeah. Always important.
And there is a great website, Campaign Zero, which provides you the facts, the figures on all of the different ways that we can reduce and preferably eliminate police violence in this country. And those are just ideas that you can share with your elected representative. But if you don't want to share those ideas, you're not sure what to share, you can just share how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And that they will mark those things down.
Yeah, and I think another thing to note is that I've heard a lot of people saying, well, I don't know what to say or I don't know how to say it. And there are resources out there. There are scripts that people have written to get you started.
Yeah.
So if you're not calling because you don't know what to say, then you're not trying hard enough to come up with something to say. Someone's already done the work for you. You just need to dial 10 numbers and read the script.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good point. All right. Our number one and our winner is vote for a new president.
Amen. A-M-E-N. Say it again. Vote for a new president.
Having the president of the United States incite violence, support
white nationalism,
white nationalists, Nazis.
Yeah.
This is not good.
An active racist.
We need somebody different.
We
need someone different.
To get him out of there and put him in prison and just wipe our hands clean of this buffoon.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you so much to everyone that reached out to us for checking in on us during the protests and the riots. We really appreciate you, and we hope that this has provided some insight into the ways in which we're choosing to support this movement.
The too long didn't read version is Black Lives Matter. We believe that, and we hope you do too.
Hey, Brawl, it's Shirley Bruce.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of And the Winner Is. We are your hosts. I'm Joey.
And I'm Jen. And this is a podcast about things that we like.
And today's episode is all about...
woodland creatures.
Oh my gosh. Jen convinced me to do this episode. I don't know how she did.
I have been wanting to do this episode. It's like the new Crayola crayon episode for me.
That's true.
Now, I've been wanting to do this for a long, long time.
The irony was the Crayola crayon episode was one of my personal favorites.
Yeah, so I think you're going to end up really loving this one.
There's another one coming up that's just so silly. Okay. I don't have any like pre-roll stuff that I want to talk about. No honorable mention. I've just got my list of five favorite woodland creatures.
I've got lots to say.
Okay.
So during my research, I found that there is an Urban Dictionary definition of woodland creature, and it goes as such.
Okay.
The name for a man of ambiguous sexuality who looks like an elf, or a creature that's just been frolicking in the woods, especially a poetry-reading bohemian type.
Nice.
So you can absolutely imagine what a woodland creature personified as a man would look like. Right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I imagine the wood elves from Lord of the Rings, essentially.
Yeah, but he's also, like, he's not as clean. He's definitely, like...
more bohemian. He's more hippie.
He's way more, yeah, because a poetry reading bohemian type.
Yeah.
He's wearing like those baggy pants. Like, what are those baggy pants called? You know what I'm talking about? They're like kind of
not
parachute pants.
Not Zubas. But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, those pants. Yes. And like maybe like a suede vest. I'm like almost describing.
A bohemian type. No,
yeah,
I understand.
I'm describing. Do you know the definition of bohemian? I don't think you do. He also has poetry. But to be clear, this is not what I'm talking about today.
Okay.
I'm not talking about my top five bohemian men.
That's not what we're talking about.
I was thinking more along a line of the creatures in Once Upon a Forest. Have you seen the movie Once Upon a Forest?
No.
I implore everyone to go out and watch the animated classic Once Upon a Forest. It is about...
a forest?
A forest. It shares a great message about conservation.
Oh, that's always nice.
And how human actions affect animal life.
Oh, okay.
Especially woodland creatures. There's like a little hedgehog, and I'm pretty sure a little skunk, and like a mouse. And it's really good.
Better or worse than Avatar?
Which Avatar?
The James Cameron Avatar.
Better.
Better than Avatar?
Better than Avatar.
When was this made?
1992, I believe.
Ooh, okay, better or worse than... What was the movie that we watched at the beginning of? The Little Unicorn or
the
something?
The Last Unicorn?
The Last Unicorn.
It's better than The Last Unicorn.
Oh, man. Okay. Them's fighting words.
So, you gotta check out that movie. And then also, something that everyone knows, so I don't even know why I'm saying this, but woodland creatures are, like, super trendy right now.
What? Everyone does not. Well, clearly not
like
this everyone.
Trendy for like babies and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And so it's like when you have a baby, like one of the themes that people use right now is like woodland creatures. Mm. And there's like little tiny foxes and little tiny hedgehogs and little tiny skunks. And
definitely better than Baby Shark.
I mean, it's pretty cute. But when I Googled woodland creatures, I assumed like every other topic, like a list would pop up. Like, typically it's like, best woodland creatures or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
BuzzFeed's for sure done this.
Exactly.
Or Ranker for sure has this, but
yeah,
is that
and
not
so
the
it,
case?
No, it was just like a bunch of baby products and like Etsy stores where I could buy like little tiny raccoons from. So anyway, that tells you something about who
that
likes...
That tells you something about something.
That tells you something. Anyway, I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
But maybe I'll say this next thing first. Why are you so against this topic?
Why am I so against woodland creatures?
Yeah, what was... Why did it take so much convincing?
Funny question. Great question. I don't know. It just feels like it's a limited pool of options to me.
Disagree.
Yeah, it feels like there's like, you know, 16 woodland creatures that I get to pick from. It might not, that's not the case.
That's not even remotely the case.
I don't know, it's just, it's hard to make a case for why one woodland creature is just such a unique category. It's just this.
But it's just like the animal episode. It's like, which of the woodland creatures is best?
Well, I did manage to make a list, so you'll have to wait to hear.
So just a little bit about my process.
Yeah, why are you so in love with the woodland creatures?
Because I'm a child of the forest, Joey. Oh. I grew up in the woods surrounded by woodland creatures.
I grew up near a park.
Yeah, but not like me. Oh, I was okay. Like connected to those animals. Yeah. And you just, I don't think it's the same. You were like friends with like city woodland creatures.
You're
like
a city dweller.
Like faux woodland creatures. They were like wearing like little spectacles and like ate with forks and stuff.
My
woodland creatures were like real ones.
Oh, what is that called when you mix, not furries, but when you mix animal creatures with people?
Oh, that's scary. I don't know.
I can't remember what it's called.
I don't know. But anyway, my process. I didn't want to include any insects because my hope is that we have an insect episode in the future.
Oh, that's a great call, because now that you say that, there's definitely an insect that didn't make my list but would have. Oh, there is one insect on my list, but I'm going to say I do have a runner-up now that you've said that.
So insect episode. This is my call for episode. I'm also hoping that we can do a dedicated bird episode in the near future. Because there were a lot of birds that came up in my woodland creature research that I was like, oh, I should include this. But I refrained. I included one bird.
Wow. Who's the bird lover now?
Well... you, because your eyes lit up like Christmas morning when I said we should do a bird episode. But anyway, we should do a bird episode. Okay, so now I am done speaking, and I think we are ready...
To dive in.
Okay. Why don't you tell us your number five?
Okay, my number five is the humble caterpillar.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I just love caterpillars. They're always so friendly. There's no risk to a caterpillar. Like, anytime I see a caterpillar, at least, it's one of those things that I would move out of the way to not step on. Oh, like, yeah. If I saw a caterpillar on the sidewalk, I wouldn't step on a caterpillar.
Yeah.
Whereas something like an ant, I wouldn't make a point of avoiding stepping on an ant, but I would a caterpillar.
Yeah.
And not just because they're squishy. But they're
definitely be grosser.
They're furry. They're fun to pick up, and like as they inch along your fingertip. But they also, to me, represent like untapped potential.
Oh my god!
They are the essence of potential energy, or like the universe before it has become itself. It represents a caterpillar. To me, represents knowledge as well.
Oh boy!
They're gentle creatures.
Do you know that for sure?
No, that's just how I feel.
Oh, okay.
I just feel like they're gentle creatures. And
what if they're like vicious murderers?
And they, well, if you see a close up of a caterpillar, you might think that they are vicious murderers. They're really scary. But I also go back to Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah,
which is a really, I guess I would say, important story to me. It's just a really impactful story to me. That it's one that I love. And the caterpillar is such an important character in Alice in Wonderland. And that's also kind of where I think I get the caterpillar representing knowledge and maybe the untapped potential. Mm-hmm. And everybody, there's a caterpillar in everybody is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to be the beautiful butterfly.
Yes, from a bug's life.
Yes.
That's why we need to have an insect episode.
Yeah, I feel like I was trying to do the caterpillar from Bug's Life, but I ended up sounding more Indian. So yeah. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it's like, that's why we just shouldn't do impressions.
Yeah.
It just never comes across exactly the way we want it to.
Didn't quite nail it.
Yeah, but you tried.
I tried and failed.
Yep.
Next time.
As long as you acknowledge that, that's all that matters. Yeah. So my number five is the black bear.
Ooh, good choice.
Thank you. Only found in North America. That is a fun fact.
That is a fun fact.
Mexico, United States, Canada.
Yep.
That's where you will find the black bear. And there are 800,000 of them.
Okay.
Which kind of feels like a lot to me.
Do we know, is that a lot? Like, I would imagine they're not endangered.
No, I don't think that is a lot. But it feels kind of like a lot. Like, that's almost a million bears. just like hanging out.
That does not feel endangered to me.
Yeah. No, I think they're pretty good.
Okay.
I like them because they're generally not aggressive. They eat fruits, nuts, vegetation. They're all about that vegan life, you know? They have a crazy good sense of smell, and that's why they love...
But they're not vegan, though, right?
Well,
they're about that be vegan. Like, they like those things, but they do eat fish and...
Well, they're not the black bears.
Really?
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe. But they love a good ransacking of human food.
Indeed.
So they are not vegan in that sense. I don't know about the jaw structure of the black bear in comparison to the grizzly.
Oh, sure.
The grizzly is obviously...
Yeah,
carnivores. A meat eater. Yeah, black bears could be pescatarian. I'm not sure. But they actually don't discriminate. They will eat anything, and their crazy sense of smell will lead them straight to your picnic basket every time.
I have a live update.
Ugh.
Conservation status, least concern for the black bear.
That's great. Bear cubs are really cute. That's another reason. Their tiny little black faces are just so cute. Oh, I just love them. And now I have some advice for you. If you come across a black bear at close range, you should retreat slowly, still facing the bear. Do not run. Black bears are known to make mock charges to within a few meters. If they do this, stand your ground and shout. So that is how you get out of a bear attack. Yeah, I like black bears. There's growing up, as I mentioned, in the woods.
Yeah.
We had the occasional black bear. I make it sound like I literally lived in the woods.
Child of the woods, yeah.
Had a really great house. My family was there. It was all good. Air conditioning and everything, unlike the room we're in right now.
Did you grow up? Oh, yeah. It's so hot.
Yeah, we are in a room right now where both of us are just wanting this to end.
I think I'm sweating right now.
I am absolutely sweating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I am... It's a struggle, but... The point of this story is to talk about the black bears. They would come to the house occasionally, and they're so polite because we would have like bird feeders out, and there was this one bear in particular that he just like put his paw on it and like had the put it down, like pulled the bird feeder down a little bit, so like the seeds like dropped right into his mouth, but he never broke the bird feeder. He was so polite. He was the best, and he slept in the backyard for like a couple days, and then he moved on. But I like black bears.
I like bears.
I like bears.
Okay, my number four is the fox.
Oh, okay. That's my number one.
Oh, that's your number one?
Of course it is. How could you not know that?
Hmm. Would you like to go first, or do you want me to say my piece first?
You can go first.
Okay. So I love the playful innocence of the fox and the cunning of the fox.
Mm, yeah, okay. So now I will interrupt you.
Go for it.
Because my first point... Foxes are cunning and crafty, two traits that I value highly and appreciate.
Yeah, you are cunning and crafty.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I just said that I valued them. It's great that I also embody them.
Exactly.
So I value my own traits. Okay, continue.
Please. Okay. I like the wordplay of the words foxy. Like, there's so much wordplay that comes from fox, like she's foxy or she's a fox. To out-fox someone, you know, because you're cunning.
Yeah.
And I found out from my research on foxes that the word shenanigans is a derivative of fox.
Really?
Yeah. I believe it's like Gaelic or something like that.
Hmm.
And vixen, you know, like a she's a vixen.
Is a
lady fox.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that.
You didn't?
I did not know that a vixen was a lady fox.
I did that before I even did research. Not
because you grew up in the forest.
Yeah, because I grew up in the forest with foxes.
Not to mention, just got to say it, fantastic Mr. Fox, am I right?
Oh my God, one of the greatest movies.
Yeah.
Okay, so I will say that is better than Once Upon a Forest.
Okay, fantastic Mr. Foxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, they are cute, they are resourceful, they are great parents, they are playful, they actually share a lot in common with cats. They're solitary. This has nothing to do with being related to cats, by the way. I'm now moving on from the cat comment. They're solitary, but they are also monogamous. So they pick one lady vixen, and they spend all their time with that one lady vixen. What else?
I mean, I've heard... I would love to have a fox just because they're so cute, but I hear that they're...
You really
is, yeah,
should not have foxes.
You should not have a fox, yeah.
I know everybody's like, Juniper Fox! And
Yeah.
But those
because
people.
Because it's cute.
Yeah. Those people are advocates for, like, you should not do this.
Yeah.
So don't do it. Last thing, a group of foxes is called a skulk or a leash.
Ooh, I like that.
A skulk.
The groups of animals thing, we could do an episode on the best names for groups of animals thing. A skulk?
Yeah, that's a skulk. So cool. Yeah. I guess last thing.
Okay.
When afraid, red foxes will grin. And so I should say, my number one isn't just a fox, it's a red fox.
Oh, yeah.
Of course. So the grin is a sign of submission, along with arching their backs and bringing themselves lower to the ground while laying their ears back.
Hmm. Yeah, foxes are awesome.
They're the best.
I do like a good fox. Okay, my number three.
Should I do my number four?
Oh, yeah, you should do your number four.
My number four is the Eastern Chipmunk.
Yeah.
Do you have a chipmunk?
No.
On your list?
No. They're cute, though. They're cute.
Two woodland creatures that were not on your list so far. So you said that your options were limited, but I am expanding your worldview. Quite honestly, chipmunks all look the same to me. But I picked the Eastern chipmunk because that's the one that lives in Minnesota.
Okay.
I'm sure that chipmunk experts would know the difference. Looking at them.
I don't know how many chipmunk experts listen to this.
Hope that I am not offending anyone by not knowing the difference in personality and characteristics, but I'm just saying they all look the same to me. Mm. They usually only live 2 to 3 years in the wild, which is a very short lifespan.
It's a short lifespan.
Here's another fun fact. This is a group. A group of chipmunks is called a scurry.
Ooh, that's fun.
Where they're, like, scurrying around. So the reason I like chipmunks is they're small and they're cute.
They are cute.
And I like the way that they climb trees. But it's, like, different than a squirrel. A squirrel just looks like a rat to me. But, like,
a chipmunk doesn't, though?
A chipmunk is so cute and friendly, and they have, like, these little baby faces and, like, these big eyes.
A chipmunk is pretty close.
I think debate time. Gray squirrels are so nasty.
Well, they are definitely nasty.
Do you have squirrel on your list?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I've got traumatic stories about squirrels from my childhood.
There's a lot
growing
of nasty,
up in,
yeah.
Growing up in the forest, there was a lot of bad things that happened with the squirrels.
I will say, super cute chipmunk is a chipmunk that's got two nuts in its cheeks.
Oh yeah. So they can hold a bunch of chipmunks in their cheeks. They've got like a pouch inside their cheek. Yeah, and they can. I think they can gather up to like 165 acorns in a single day.
That's a lot.
Which is a lot.
It's a long day.
That is a long day, but they've got to do it.
All right, my number three, the chipmunk is no match for, and it is the butterfly.
Oh, another insect. The caterpillar turns into the
exactly.
butterfly.
Exactly. The wow. caterpillar
the
has
metamorphosis.
Now has now metamorphized. And it has realized its potential by becoming the butterfly. Now, the butterfly is a magical creature.
Sure.
And when I think of woodland creatures, part of the appeal of a forest or of a woodland creature is the mystery and the magic of a forest.
Yeah. Yep.
And butterflies embody that magic to me. Mm-hmm. So there are, when I think of magical butterflies, which I don't do very often, but if and when I do think of magical butterfly, I think I'm thinking of the Ulysses and blue morpho butterflies.
Ooh, the blue ones are pretty.
It's the blue ones that are just so beautiful. And I, of course, in my head, I'm thinking that they're glowing.
Of course.
Just, it's all about the blue butterflies. That's pretty much it.
What do you think about moths?
Not great. I do not feel positively about moths.
I like moths. Because butterflies bring you into, like, the beautiful part of the forest. But moths bring you back to, like, the witchy bog part.
Exactly. It's like Mirkwood.
I'm into that.
Yeah, I mean, I still like moths, but they're nothing...
That's where I find my cauldron.
But they're not... But they're no butterfly.
Well, no match for the butterfly... is the humble baby deer, a.k.a. fawn, which is my number three.
Nice.
Specifically...
No match for the butterfly.
Yeah. Did I say that backwards?
Yep.
It's...
the butterfly has met his match.
The butterfly has now met its match with the baby deer, is what I'm trying to say. And it has to be one that still has its spots. About 300 spots is what you will count on a fawn. Mm. There's nothing cuter than a baby deer. Name anything. Quickly.
Baby dog.
I wasn't fast
enough. Baby cat.
Wasn't fast enough.
Okay.
But this is so fun. Okay, so a newborn baby deer weighs about the same as a human child when it's born. Between like 4 and 8 pounds.
A tiny little thing.
I know. And they're so cute. They've got they're really long.
Sticky legs.
Yeah, they're knobby legs. Have you ever seen a newborn baby deer? It's just the cutest freaking thing. I just love it. They've got their little spindly legs.
So spindly, yeah. Trying to stand.
Polka dots and its little twitchy tail.
Humans got nothing on the four-legged animals when it comes to standing.
I know. It's just and just survival.
And survival. Because that deer comes out and it's standing. It's surviving.
It's thriving.
It's thriving minutes after it's born.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing too. Baby deer, fawns, I just prefer to call it baby deer.
Sure.
A mother deer will leave the babies alone for long periods of time shortly after they're born, especially during the first few days, so that she can go gather food for the baby. But the baby just knows to lay there, to sit there and not move and just be silent. No human baby would know how to do that. Human baby would start crying.
Yeah.
And so I just love baby deer. I know. And so the mother will also hide. If she had two baby deer at once, twins, she would hide them in separate locations so that if a predator did come, it wouldn't get both babies.
Smart.
Very smart. I love deer. I think you know this. Whenever I see a deer, I get very, pretty excited.
Yeah.
When we were in Zion.
I like deer too.
There were so many deer, but I feel like I kept being there's a deer. And you were yeah. I saw a deer 20 feet ago and it looks no different than that other deer. But I think it's very exciting. The last very sad thing is, as I mentioned, growing up in the forest, I have a lot of traumatic stories about deer. And so I'm not going to actually share any of those. But
yeah, are they sad stories?
Sad.
Yeah,
there's lots of sad deer stories. But then also just gross deer stories too.
Don't want that.
Yeah. But it was always cool because sometimes we would find antlers because they shed their antlers.
Oh, that is cool.
We'd find them in back in the woods.
They shed them?
Yeah. Well, they pop, they pop off and then they grow new ones.
Oh, sure. Yeah. If they're in a battle or something.
No.
No?
No. They fall off and then they grow more points.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Fact. All right. My number two is the owl.
My number two is the owl.
Oh, nice.
Which kind?
All kinds, but I guess if I had to pick one, I would probably pick either a snow owl or a barn owl.
Barn, 100%. Barn is the only correct answer favorite owl.
Yeah, barn is pretty cool, but the snow owls are pretty sweet too.
Have you seen the barn owl's face?
Yeah, it's all about the flat face.
Oh my gosh, they look wise as hell.
They do. Well, okay, yeah, that's part of the reason why I like the owls.
Yeah, it's if I were to go on a quest, I feel like I want to go on a cool, my first stop is to find the wise owl in the forest.
Exactly.
And it's I'm finding the barn owl in the tree that the butterfly leads me to or something.
I just
know?
Found out that barn owls have this super scary hiss that they
oh my
do.
Gosh.
Did you see that video?
Yeah, I was listening to it. It was very terrifying.
Jen and I also really love the show Avatar.
Okay, we are the same person. Because I have a note to say, this is an opportunity to plug Avatar The Last Airbender.
Great show. It's available on Netflix now. But there's a sequence with an owl who is in charge of a library and collecting information for his spirit library. Wan Ching Tong, I think is his name.
I don't remember.
Super cool. There's also a great game, Ori and the Blind Forest, that has a really cool owl in it.
I'm not done talking about this owl.
Oh, okay.
In Avatar The Last Airbender. His his power and his knowledge it's enviable.
It is
and I
enviable.
Really respect how scary he is.
He's so scary.
He's super scary. And the way he patrols
it's the flat
the library.
Face.
It's the flat
the
face.
The way they can change their face too from gentle to terrifying.
Yeah.
Is super awesome.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen Avatar, now is the time.
Now is the
because
time.
It is on Netflix and it's amazing.
Okay, I've got some fun facts.
Okay.
A group of owls is called a parliament.
Oh, gosh, that's wise as hell, too.
Isn't that wise? And I also just imagine, like, the funk band Parliament and just, like, a group of owls just, like, getting funky, just dancing to the funk music. This is also some crazy stuff. Owls have far-sighted tubular eyes.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not spherical. They can't move their eyes, which is why they rotate their head.
I didn't know that part.
Tubular. That is crazy. And they're farsighted because they can see so well at a distance. But if you hold something in front of them, they can't really see it. So they're just using the hairs on their face. Owl flight is silent.
Yeah, flying silent.
special feathers to break up the turbulence into smaller currents.
But could you imagine they fly, like, imagine one flying up silently behind you and then, like, hissing or, like, doing its scary screech in your ear.
Picking you up and now you're dead.
Well, yeah, which is a pretty good segue into getting killed by an owl is very gruesome.
Oh.
First, it grabs its prey and crushes it to death with its talons. Then, depending on its size, it either eats the prey whole or rips it up. And the owl's digestive tract processes the body and the parts that can't be digested, like fur and bones, and those are compacted into a pellet, which then the owl later regurgitates.
Nice.
Which is super gross, but also just, like, kind of fascinating. Other fun fact, they're also very cold and, like, kind of terrifying. They sometimes eat other owls. They feed their strongest babies first, which is super harsh.
That is harsh.
And I also want to take this opportunity. Nature is metal. To ask if you have seen The Staircase, which is a murder documentary, also available on Netflix, if you think the owl killed her. Just let me know. If it wasn't the husband, who could it have been? The only other option is the owl. So let me know. Last piece about owls. Yeah. Do you have more?
No, that's all I got on owls.
Last piece is that owls are often viewed as the symbol of death. Did you know this?
Oh, you know what? I think I wrote that down.
From ancient times on, owls have been linked with death, evil, and other superstitions. Many cultures saw owls as a sign of impending death. One example is an owl was said to have predicted the death of Julius Caesar. They've also been associated with witches and so-called evil things. So because of all of that, and people have a lot of superstitions about owls, they, in some places, are often killed based on these beliefs, which is super sad.
That is super sad. All right. Is there only one left? My number one?
Yeah.
All right. My number one and my winner is the stag.
Oh.
The stag.
Is that like the male deer?
It's a male deer.
Is that you're just like choosing a cooler word?
Well, you said baby deer.
Yeah.
A fawn. But mine is specifically the stag.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Just as yours was the fawn.
I got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
To me, the stag represents the heart of the forest.
Okay.
It's like the father of the forest.
Like Bambi. When he's an adult.
Yes. Kind of like Bambi. Or like the Lion King. Like a lion might be the king.
Yeah.
You know, of the Serengeti or something like that.
Sure.
The stag is the heart of the forest. Often appears in mythology or other religions, in Aesop's fables. I have a personal connection to the stag via Harry Potter. Love me some Harry Potter.
What's your personal connection?
Just that I love Harry Potter and Harry's Patronus is a stag.
Got it.
Yeah. and my other personal connection is Princess Mononoke. A stag plays a large role in Princess Mononoke.
Hmm.
A great film by Studio Ghibli,
which is now available on HBO Max. We should probably get paid.
We're probably streaming way too much stuff.
Yeah. That's fine. I didn't actually watch Once Upon a Forest, but I want to.
Oh, what? What
no, are you I saying? Mean, like, not recently.
Oh, okay.
I watched it all the time when I was a kid. On a VHS tape. Yeah,
that's a good clarification.
Yes.
All right, let's do the recap here.
My number 5 is the black bear. My number 4 is the eastern chipmunk. Number 3 is baby deer, aka fawn. My number 2 is the barn owl, and my winner is the red fox.
My number 5 is caterpillar. 4 is the fox. Number 3 is the beautiful butterfly. Number 2, owl. My number 1 and my winner is the stag.